Sober Since 16 is a podcast about long-term recovery after getting sober as a teenager. I'm not an expert on alcoholism, addiction, or recovery. Everything I share is taken from my own experience, and what worked for me might not work for another person. Your results may vary. Find me at Instagram, SoberSince16_podcast, Twitter, SoberSince16, or the blog, SoberSince16.com. Well, hey there, coming in hot for episode 9, 2 years almost to the date since my last recorded episode of this podcast. And wow, we've covered a whole lot of ground. I hope that anyone who's listening to this, that you and your family and your loved ones are well. And yeah, this has been a really, really crazy last 2 years. It's almost like my life has been on hiatus, which I'm actually calling this episode. Plus also, I haven't recorded an episode for 2 years, so there you go. And I think as alcoholics are wont to do, I guess I should just speak for myself. I am an overthinker. And I've actually thought about this podcast quite often, but I've just been busy with other endeavors and also pandemic. So, and you would think with all of that time that I seem to have during the pandemic, I quit my job, both my kids came home and attended college remotely, I would have time galore to record episodes, but it just wasn't on my heart. My sponsor and I actually talk about that quite a bit. So here I am, and this won't be too long. I'm feeling sort of shy to get back into it, but I podcasting is, believe it or not, you know, my 2 year absence has been not an indication of actually how I feel about this. I listen to podcasts daily, and you know, I think a lot about my own podcast and ways that I can be of service to the online recovery community. So without further ado, I'm just going to go ahead and launch into a couple of the thoughts that I've had over really this last 20 months. And it's interesting because there are two kinds of people: people who like AA meetings on Zoom and people who don't. Maybe there's some people who are ambivalent out there, but I certainly haven't come across them. There have been a lot of people who I know with long-term sobriety who have just gone without. And I am a firm believer of whenever two or more are gathered, that makes up a meeting. But what ended up happening was my AA sponsor had introduced me to a fellowship actually in Scotland. This particular group hosts 3 meetings a week. One of them is 1 a.m. my time, and I can't, you know, I actually have been to it a couple of times, but it's definitely not something I would go to regularly. Like, I could go to an 11 p.m. meeting or a midnight meeting and be done, let's say, at 1 a.m., but being done at 2 a.m. is kind of kicks my ass, and not in a good way. But so I started attending this meeting and really fell in love with the fellowship in other countries. You know, it's a language of the heart, regardless of where, what continent we reside in. And I have been meetings on Zoom all around the world, and it is an incredible experience. And it makes me, you know, I say this expression or phrase all the time about what a small world it is, but it really kind of puts that into a context that the recovery world really isn't all that big, and we're really not all that different from each other. And in fact, I have found that the little differences, that the way meetings are conducted, actually make it pretty special. So, and I have loved Zoom meetings. I know that a lot of people have opinions on the pandemic and how things have been handled with quarantine and all of that. And like the AA tradition, I'm not going to go ahead and get into any big debate, but it's different everywhere in terms of mask mandates and that kind of thing. And we have sober clubs around here that have opened up, and meeting places where people are starting to come back in. And even a couple, I've even been to a couple of hybrid meetings where there are people meeting in a physical location. And, you know, that doesn't seem to go maybe as smoothly as I would like, but, you know, heck, it's, you know, whatever people get out of it, I suppose. There's lots and lots of meetings to go to. But what I found for me is, after not going to in-person meetings for so long, the longer I stay away from in-person meetings, the less comfortable I am returning to them. So I've been to exactly 3 in-person meetings since the pandemic, as things have started to open up. 2 of them were outside, and all 3 of those meetings are because people asked me to share, or to cover a commitment, I should say. One of them, somebody had asked me if I could fill in at a physical meeting, and I ended up showing up. But I think some of it, too, is that I'm just inherently lazy. Like, I love the ability to open up my laptop and go to a meeting anywhere. And I would say that a lot of the local meetings that I attended have chosen to stay on Zoom. And even if that meeting has gone back to in-person meetings, there's one meeting in particular I can think of that basically it's 2 meetings now. So one meeting under the same group is completely online with a different secretary and treasurer and commitments that go with that. And then the other physical location has its own set of people who attend and people who have commitments at that meeting. So the meetings that I go to that were my home groups, both of them still remain on Zoom. And should they become in person, I will probably attend those. But it's enriched my own personal recovery so much to attend meetings in other areas, and really it's expanded my network. I have met people on Zoom that, it's been such a joy and such a privilege to go ahead and walk this path with people on other continents, and it has really deepened my spiritual experience. And, you know, heavens knows I definitely never would have saw something like this coming. But I love it. Zoom meetings are a staple for me. And it's, as far as I'm concerned, they're here to stay. And, you know, there are a handful of people that I have met on Zoom that I later met in person. I have sponsored a couple people on Zoom who I may never meet in person in this lifetime. And if that's how it plays out, that's how it plays out. But with technology and the ability to see people on video and talk to them, it really is pretty remarkable. I mean, my hope is to meet those people someday. But so I know that's really short. To wrap things up, you know, I over the summer I celebrated 37 years of sobriety, and I'll tell you what, nobody's more surprised about that than I am. This is last couple years have had some pretty big challenges for me in my personal relationships, but regardless, I keep showing up for my sobriety because, you know, I have come to think that working a 12-step program is truly the easier, softer way. You know, I could tear my life down, and I mean, I certainly don't want to, but the bottom line is that the only way through it is through it. You know, I can't Oh, I'm just stumbling over my words. It probably was better to just stop while I was ahead, but I just feel like I truly can't. Getting emotional. I can't imagine my life not sober, for one. This isn't any kind of a weird swan song, but I think about how in the times where I have struggled and taking a drink or a drug have seemed appealing because it seems like the easiest way, I have come to find that that is so not the case. And it really has broken my heart because I know a lot of people who have gone out because they either couldn't do the Zoom technology or because of the pandemic and circumstances, they have really struggled greatly with isolation. And we already know that this is a huge disease of isolation without a pandemic. So to those of you who are listening, you know, I really hope that my message here today finds you well and that you are thriving in your own recovery wherever you are and whatever that looks like. And as always, thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Bye. A 100% of any income generated from this podcast will be donated to Millie's House. Millie's House is a place for women to transition into a continuing care program for further support as they step back into the community newly sober. They also offer support for women who are reunifying with their children, including the opportunity to live together as they begin repairing the entire family unit. Women who achieve sobriety while pregnant may welcome healthy babies into this program as well. Services include aftercare, 12-step meetings, parenting programs, and family support. See casaserena.org/programs for more information.